Okay, Rose Ukeite and Charlotte Abaka, welcome to the studios of UN Radio. This year, the committee is focusing on violence against women, including rape, abuse within the family, and sexual harassment. What are some of the things that you are looking for in listening to reports from governments that have ratified the convention? Maybe I'll start with you, Rose.
The convention encapsulates all manner of discrimination against women. It aims at sensitizing women to know about their rights and the most effective way to claim those rights, because it has been found that lack of knowledge, lack of awareness of rights is one of the greatest militating factors that stop women from claiming those rights, because if you don't know the rights, then you can't claim them. So most that the committee asks from state parties is a comprehensive situation backed up by indices, backed up by statistics, so that it isn't only that those rights exist in the law books, but that they actually are enjoyed by the women of that country. So the committee, while it wants to know that those laws do exist, they are more concerned that the women of those countries are in fact deriving benefit from them and enjoying them de facto, that is in actual fact. That is why we put so many questions, why we demand so many statistics, and why we sometimes seem very hard on state parties, because what is presented to us may be painted, may be a facade. So we lift the veil and we go behind to actually elicit from their representatives the actual position of the situation of the women in that country.
Can you talk about some of the specifics of things you're looking for? For example, you know, whether a country has facilities for women who are abused, whether they have an education program, things like that.
Yes. Like my colleague said, it doesn't really matter in most cases that the laws are existing. The committee is very interested in knowing whether there are machineries that also coordinate and supervises the effectiveness of these laws in the various countries that have ratified the convention. And the committee recommends very, very much that national machineries are established in all these countries, because they coordinate, or they, at least they are supposed to coordinate, the work of all NGOs, non-governmental agencies, governmental agencies that have anything at all to deal with women's emancipation and equality. And it is only through this coordination and supervision that we can really, the committee can really find out the actual situation in that country, whether women are really actually benefiting from the fact that some state parties just ratify conventions for the cosmetic of it, but that they are really implementing articles of that convention. So we lay a lot of emphasis on the existence of machineries that supervises the implementation of the convention, and sort of put pressure on the governments to actually implement them.
Now, what are some of the specific things you might ask a government, someone who's presenting a report about the whole incidence of violence? Do you ask them whether or not they have crisis centers, for example? What are some of the things that you look to see that will enable women who may be victims of violence not to suffer from that violence anymore?
For me, as an expert coming from an African country, especially from a West African country, the most important thing is first to find out the causes of those violences against women, why those violences do occur, because it's completely different, this type of violence they have in Europe against women and that of women in Africa, specifically in Ghana, for instance. So my interest is to to find out why these violences occur in Ghana, because in Europe, one of the things to help women against these things would be, for instance, to establish homes where these women can go. But I can tell you for sure, if you establish such a thing in Ghana, it will not work, because the women who have been really gone through violence will not even go to those places, because every woman in Ghana has a family home to go. So if my husband beats me up, I'm not going to go to a shelter home or something. That would be a disgrace, in fact, to my family. I will either go to my family, my extended family house, or if I'm in good standing with the relatives of my husband, you know, complain to my husband's family, and there will always be an attempt to sort of settle issues. And if we really have to separate, I will not go to a shelter home. My children will not go to shelter homes. The wife and the children will go to the home of their extended family.
Now, has there been a change in attitude towards violence? Are women now less willing to accept that there is violence, or they don't see it anymore as an attitude? If my husband beats me, it's because he loves me, that sort of thing.
Of course, we haven't reached the optimum stage yet, but at least an attempt has been made. First of all, I mean, let me cite an example of where women undergo violence. When the husband dies, what we call the widowhood rites, you know, some very, very unpleasant things are done to the woman, as if the woman is responsible for the death of the husband. But fortunately, the present government of Ghana, the PNDC, has made a law that makes these hazardous widowhood rites illegal. So the National Machinery and many, many women organizations are making women aware of the existence of these laws, you know, to let them know that they really don't have to do those things. And that also to make them aware, morally put them in a situation that if they don't do it, nothing will actually happen to them, you know, customary beliefs and so forth and so on. And there is, for instance, a woman organization, the Queen Mothers Association, for instance, which exists in every village, because in Ghana, every village has a queen mother. You know, these queen mothers have come together. And in fact, when a husband dies, they appoint one of them or one woman to be with the widow to see to it that she is not mishandled, you know. So we are getting ahead, and of course a lot needs to be done.
And you look like you have something to say on that.
As I stressed during the consideration of the report of Ghana, for any solution to be effective, it has to be tailored to the needs, to the culture, to the tradition, to the practice that exists in that society. It's no use African women and African countries splitting hair over the setting up of shelters, battered women's shelters, like my colleague from Ghana said. If you set it up in Nigeria, nobody would go there. Nobody would go there, because the cultural setup we have, the family situation, the marriage types we have in Nigeria and in most African countries, West African countries, I'm sure, marriage is a contract between the families, not necessarily between the parties. Now that we are becoming aware, of course, the parties have to agree to love each other and to marry. But before, you were not part of it. It was a fait accompli you are presented with. Now you are going to marry Charlotte's son. And I had no right to say no. I just go ahead and marry Charlotte's son, and that's all there is about it. So if it begins to fail, then my mother will go back to Charlotte and say, see what your son is doing, or I will go to my mother-in-law, and then they settle it at family level. If we must break up, then I will return to my parents. I need not go into a shelter. We would never, ever. I would be so emphatic as to say that in Nigeria, setting off of shelters will never be a priority. I would not even consider it because I know that it will not be patronized. I think that the most basic thing is to get a proper definition of violence. In Europe, their priorities are different. Rape is a very, very epidemic problem and has reached situations and states in which it will attract attention. In Africa, rape is not a problem. Sporadic instances of rape, particularly of male family attendants raping young girls in their care, those are sporadic and it's visited with a great deal of venom and high, very, very serious legal consequences. It's not like you rape a woman to death and you end a sentence of 3 months and horrible things like that. But here you end proper sentence. So nobody, rape is not a problem, too much of a problem with us. Also, a lot of energy is taken up about spousal rape. In Africa, I don't think we have reached a stage where a man can rape his wife. There's no spousal rape in Africa. But that is not to say that if a man kills his wife or causes her bodily harm, he will be visited with the normal legal consequence. But it is not that a man talks to his wife and she doesn't want to be amorous towards him and he goes ahead and exercises his what he considers his conjugal right, then you arraign him before a court and you give him 10 years. No such thing happens in Africa because they still believe that a man and his wife are one. They are one, they can, just like she can also insist on his performing his conjugal rights. She can insist. We have never had that problem of a woman submitting to family violence because she thinks her husband loves her and that is his own way of showing his love. No. When your husband starts beating you, there's a problem and the family comes in to solve the problem. We never accept that it is a show of love. There are so many other ways of showing love and we claim the better way of showing love. So
what are the forms of violence that are, violence against women that is, that are a problem in Africa?
No, yes, there are problems that derive. Now there's a economic slump. There's economic depression. Many men are not employed. And because in the African setting, it is the duty of the man to maintain his family. Even if she's a judge, he has to maintain her because that is part of it. He has to maintain her. And when he finds himself incapable of doing that, he thinks he loses confidence in himself. He's irritable. And of course, since she's the nearest person, he takes it out on her. There's a domestic beating. I mean, violence, properly so-called, that is where a man beats up his wife, but not batters. He doesn't take a stone and hit her head and or shoot her or kill her. He beats her up. And then she runs to her family and they step in. There's also non-spousal violence where the mother-in-law, the sister-in-law, the brother-in-law, they come in and beat the wife. We have all those. Those are terrible. They've reached epidemic situations, but not that a man would kill his wife and get away with it. No.
Okay. Now, you also talked about the fact that shelters are not a culturally appropriate form of redress for women in African countries. Yes. What are some of the ways that African countries, specifically Nigeria and Ghana, are dealing with violence? Charlotte, maybe you can answer that.
Well, like I said before, we always try to settle it among the families. You know, and to be very honest, of course, there may be cases where it becomes difficult. But in most cases, the family is able to resolve the problems. But I want to mention here, my colleague talked mostly about the physical violence. I think we can also mention moral, psychological violence also here. The usual thing is that the woman is not working, the man is working. And when there's shortage of money, you know, the man sort of express his anger on the woman by beating and so forth. There is also, or at least can and must not be underestimated, situations where the woman earns more You know, I'm stressing this fact just to make us aware that it's not only women of low income grade that suffer violence, but also highly educated women. I mean, if you are unfortunate and you are married to a man who earns less than you do, the men, they don't like it. They don't like it and react violently to this, you know. And I think this is also a very serious form of psychological violence on the women.
Okay, before I turn to the whole issue of abortion, did you want to add something on that?
Yes, I wanted to say as well that one of the ways in which violence in the home is contained is because in Africa, everybody's everybody else's keeper. It's not like here, when, say, in the middle of the night, there's a lot of commotion coming from my house, my neighbor will come and knock on the door and say, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. They would intervene. That is the first, let me call it first aid to violence, because the neighbors will intervene and see that it doesn't get out of hand. If they see a very explosive situation, they can take the wife to their home to sleep there the night, mm-hmm. by which time they allow the man time to for his temper to cool, and then he would reflect over the night. The neighbors will come in even before the family comes in. So that is one way. And the second way we are containing violence is to economically empower the women. That is why we have so many programs at the grassroots, so that the women, we have a lot of women in the informal sector, women who trade, women who help themselves. It isn't usual in Africa for you just to sit down and wait to be taken into a shelter. You find a way of doing. There's hardly any woman that is not occupied. In fact, that is why Africa is supporting the means of finding ways of calculating the informal sector input into the gross national product, because mm-hmm. it accounts for a lot. Women who are working unpaid in family business, there's a lot. And that's why women in Africa do not feel the impact as much as her counterpart in Europe, who sit down and wait for social security, because the African woman is not brought up on social security. She's been brought up to help herself. Therefore, like we have set up rural women's Better Life program that sensitize women to their rights, to their abilities, to their capabilities. This will make them know that if you earn one penny and you need five kobo, then you only need four extra kobo. But if you just sit down, have nothing, then you are completely powerless. You take everything. Those are the areas in which we are trying to contain it. And also, while we like the extended family, it has its bad aspect, because your mother-in-law can come in and not like the food you cook for the son, and she can beat you up and so on and so forth. So while we like the interference, quote and unquote, of family, of the extended, we also want to refine it in such a way as to reduce the ability, the capability, the right, as it were, of your non-spouses coming to interfere and to incite violence. Those are the ways we have tried to contain violence in Nigeria.
Okay, now one last topic I'd like to talk about is the whole issue of abortion.
Yes.
Now, the person who gave the report yesterday on Ghana mentioned that in Ghana, abortion is illegal, but yet many abortions take place in hospitals. And yes, I know. So what is that about? How does that happen?
The law says that abortion is illegal, but under circumstances when the life of the woman, of the mother-to-be, is in danger, when the life of the child is in danger, then under medical recommendation, abortion could be done. Unfortunately, in spite of this law, there are still a lot of illegal abortions going on, and it's mostly done by teenagers. And this again also indicates the unawareness of the population. Previously, when a girl attending school got pregnant and after delivery she could not continue her schooling, fortunately the PNDC government has changed this law. The education is part of the education reform. After delivery, you can still continue your education. Sometimes for psychological reasons, the girls don't want to go back to their original school. There is also the possibility from the Ghana Education Service to even to see to it that you are transferred to another school. But people are not aware of all these possibilities and therefore find these clandestine ways of getting rid of pregnancies, which is very, very, very hazardous to the health of the girls. But I must say here also that there we have to do a lot of work on our values. You know, the Ghanaian society unfortunately still looks to a woman who hasn't had a child as an outcast, so to say. There is, to my mind, an overemphasis of women having children. So you see, but the irony is that these girls who commit abortion, you never know, maybe this might be the only child you're going to have. And if at a later stage, because it was not done by qualified people, you know, not properly infection and these things, and these girls usually have problem of having children later, then it of course becomes a very big problem. So I must say we still have a lot of problem with unwanted pregnancies, and but in spite of that, I personally hope that there will not be a free passport for abortion, you know, otherwise that will also cause problems.
And in Nigeria, what is the situation as far as abortion is concerned?
Yes, in Nigeria, abortion is legally not permitted, except in the circumstance in which she has said to save the health of the mother. In that case, the doctor may perform an abortion. There is a very high incidence of clandestine abortion by school children, abortion by unmarried girls, because Nigeria being so highly moralistic, the girls are ashamed and the family doesn't want it to be said that their daughter had a child while unwed. So there is. But there has been a move, even at government level, to legalize abortion, but it came up against a big uproar from the churches, from the women's movements themselves, and from a cross-section of the society. They rose up stoutly against the legalization of abortion, so the government was forced to put it back in the cooler. That's the position now. But attitudes are changing. You see a greater number of not school girls, maybe graduates, working girls, who determine they can take care of their child, whether the man wants it or not, because they don't know, time is not on their side and they want to have their child and have somebody to keep them company as they grow. So they have the children. But government is embarking on very high level family education, encouraging families to have smaller number of children that they can cope with in the face of harsh economic scenario, and also to use family planning methods. Condoms are easily obtained from the family planning unit, from the shop, off the counter, you can get free service and advice. That way, government is trying to encourage people and to stem abortion, which government had tried to legalize on two occasions, but it was defeated by women themselves. They say no, it would not augur well for young children. It will bring down morals, and that's the position now. But that does not and has not in any way lessened the high incidence of illegal abortion and unwanted pregnancy. It still exists.
Are there women, though, who are for abortions becoming legal? Is there?
They are, but they are in the greatest minority. They're in the very, very greatest minority. And in the foreseeable future, I can't see them gathering the force of voice to change things. No, I can't.
Okay. Rose Ukeche and Charlotte Abaka, thank you very much.
Thank you.